Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Behind the Braves, presented by Jostens, the official podcast of the Atlanta Braves. I'm Ricky Mast, Atlanta Braves digital media content manager. My co-host and co-pilot, Greg McMichael, is still wrapping up some things after a very successful 2 weeks of Braves fantasy camp down at Cool Today Park in Northport, Florida. So he will be back with us soon. But in the meantime, you've still got your old pal Ricky here with you, so fear not. One thing we've done before on Behind the Braves, and I want to start doing a little bit more of, is getting you guys a little bit more behind-the-scenes look at some of the folks here in this building at Truist Park that help make the organization and the company and the Braves what it is, and for you to hear their stories of how they got into baseball, how they started working in baseball, what their job entails, advice they might have. And I thought that there's a perfect candidate for that, and his name is Alan Hearn. Now, Alan is one of the favorites of everyone around the office here. Very funny, just a great talker, and he's a lifelong Braves guy, fan and employee. He's been with the Braves since 1997. He's vice president of event operations and procurement. You'll get to hear a little bit more about what that entails and what his job is and how he got here. And so let's get right into it, shall we? Here he is, Alan Hearn. Well, Alan, thanks so much for joining me here on Behind the Braves. It's a pleasure to have you. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. So I thought, for once, why don't we put it on record? Family-friendly version. On record.
Thrilled to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. I know you've been a long time Brave. You've been with the Braves for a while now, and I've gotten to hear a little bit of stories from you over the years. But before we get into the stories, just your vice president, event operations and procurement. So for those who don't know what all that entails, what is a day in the life of Alan Hearn, VP of event ops and procurement? What sorts of things does that entail?
So I have a team that supports the operational aspects of all events here at Truist Park on a 365 basis, baseball included. Obviously, that's our core business. However, at this ballpark, which is different from Turner Field, we have events, multiple events many times happening literally on a daily basis throughout the week. Weekend, external events, client events, you name it. That's what this ballpark was built for, and we are certainly realizing that these days. So we just serve as a hub of communication to all of our other operational partners, security, Delaware North, guest services, engineering, making sure everybody's on the same page, has the correct details and communication of what's going on here on a daily basis. And that's why we were created.
I know when we have, like in the summer, when we have big concerts here, when the Braves are on the road, like who we have last summer, Lady Gaga, I think Def Leppard, Motley Crue, and Poison
Correct.
Were here.
Zach Brown.
I would see you and your staff through in the office throughout the week. And I'm not exaggerating when I say you guys literally live here for that time when those concerts are happening and being set up and broken down. Is that correct?
All true. Yeah. Concerts fall right into our bucket. For the past 2 years, I have served as the main Braves contact with Live Nation, who puts on the concerts. So we as a team are here the minute they start loading in until 2 days after they load out to turn the ballpark back over for a baseball team, because you squeeze these concerts in during the season, obviously, when the team goes out of town, but it takes all that time to get a stadium show in, flooring down, a stage built. Virtually 90% of the field level transformed into back of house spaces, broadcast compound transformed into a boneyard for equipment, trucks, So it's quite a scene.
So let's back up beginning of your career then. How did you, two-part question, how did you land with the Braves? And how did you end up in that field of like event ops? I mean, how did that career path go for you at the beginning?
So in November of 1997, the ballpark had been open one season. I attended the first game opening day at Turner Field as a fan. And at that time, being at that game and just being an avid baseball fan, the thought didn't even cross my mind that first season. I had graduated from Mercer University in Macon, Georgia with a business degree. Thought that would be something versatile that would take me down some good avenues. Post-college, as I had mentioned, I'm a Metro Atlanta native, have always been a huge Braves fan. Baseball had always been a big part of my life. How did I get the job at the Braves? A family friend had given me somebody's name. I had made a call and simply gave me a number back then, not even an email. Mm-hmm. People had email back then, but it was a direct line to somebody. I made a call, no call back, made another call, no call back. On the third call, this gentleman picked up the phone. I introduced myself, referenced the connection, which he certainly knew and had worked with. And this guy simply told me the truth, said, "The marketing department isn't really taking on any full-time jobs at this time. However, the ticket office may be hiring for customer service reps at this time of year," and put me in touch with that department. I made a call, talked with an individual who I just saw at a game last season, Rick Schola. It was so great to see him. And I sent my information into him, like I'm sure a ton of other candidates did at that time of year. December 97, I got a call back for an interview in January of 98. Attended the interview. I remember this clearly, about right where I parked in the green lot, getting out of my vehicle, going into that lobby, telling the security guard my name and that I was here for an interview, and sitting in one of those colorful chairs that we had at in the 755 lobby at Turner Field. Had a really good interview. This was the type of job, even as a 23-year-old guy, recently out of college, I don't recall being that nervous. I had had a couple of other interviews prior for other types of work in other industries, and I certainly had a some sort of level of anxiety going into those. But here I am walking in. They called me back, number one.
Right.
I'm walking into Turner Field, where I had just enjoyed several baseball games that previous inaugural season. And I was just happy to be there.
Right.
And that really helped my psyche. Had an interview with the guy I mentioned, Rick Schola. I felt like it went great. I just kind of spoke from the heart, told him I would work hard when those, what are your best qualities and attributes came up. And he detailed a little bit about the job, which wasn't a full-time position, by the way. It would be very similar back then to what our trainee program is now. There really wasn't a trainee program to speak of back then, but it was the same kind of classification. It dealt with tickets. It funneled up right into the ticket sales department, still run to this day by Paul Adams. And I also went through a series of interviews with him as well. Got the job. I could not have been happier. Truthfully, at that time in my life, back then, I didn't care what it paid. All I knew was it was an opportunity to work for the Atlanta Braves. That was about all I wanted to hear. I got in that department, worked hard, was my cube was in the ticket office at Turner Field. I started to learn a lot really quickly. In several months, I learned my way around the entire ballpark on all levels. That would obviously be an important trait of mine in all the years following that. Had a blast. And there was a little bit of turnover that year with the full-timers in ticket sales. Now, keep in mind, or this is how I would size it up, you know, that was just in the midst of 14 straight when I started. So you had usually year in, year out, on paper, the best team in baseball, unquestioned. Now, that didn't always turn out to be a World Series championship. However, entering every season, that certainly was the mindset. We had the horses. And I think at that point in time, some folks in an area like that were just thinking, gosh, I'm having a great time at the Braves. Maybe it's time to explore another opportunity. That led to a little bit of turnover. So July of that summer, 1998, I was offered a full-time position. So again, the theme continues. I'm ecstatic about that.
Still in, was this full-time position still in ticketing?
Still in tickets. Okay. Back then, it was called a marketing representative.
Okay.
Tickets funneled up under the marketing umbrella. But the basis of the job was selling season tickets, group tickets, suites. We kind of did it all back then. It certainly has come a long way in its structure. And I did that for, let me talk about an important point. The following year, 1999, we went to the World Series. And I often tell this short story. When we, I believe it was Gerald Williams, I think it was a walk that pushed him across the plate to propel us into the World Series, a bases loaded walk. And when he crossed, I hope I have that right, when he crossed the plate, I looked at another coworker of mine in that department. The first words out of my mouth, and he agreed, wasn't, we're going to the World Series. We just knew we qualified for a ring, at the very least, a national championship ring. And that was certainly thought of as a treasure. And I think the next thing out of his mouth was, we're going to the World Series. And that we did. Got to get on a chartered flight as a member of the front office. Is still a very young guy in the organization. Fly up to New York. Now, we got swept in that World Series. Clean sweep. The memories will never leave me, even being on the losing end at Yankee Stadium, the losing end of a Chad Curtis game-winning home run. But I had never in my life until that moment, and I've felt it a couple of times since then, felt a building shake. I had heard the stories. Well, the stadium was shaking. The ballpark was shaking. I had never felt that until that moment in Yankee Stadium when Chad Curtis hit that game-winning home run against my team and who I worked for. But in some weird dynamic way, I just knew, I'm just like, we just lost the game in heartbreaking fashion, but I am sitting right here witnessing and feeling what is going on right now. And it was pretty unbelievable.
I can tell you that that was, there's so many things I'm going to look back at on the 2021 run that are just memories that are, I'm going to carry with me forever, that I can tap into that feeling. And instantly I'm in my head, I'm right back in that moment. And not that it was that long ago, but it's just, it impacted me in such a way that I know it's always going to be with me. Being on that team playing, just thinking, just sitting there, just thinking, going to the World Series. Like, I sit here, I try to write dumb tweets for a living. And somehow that has gotten me to where I'm sitting on a plane going to the World Series. And I had that feeling the whole way through. But when, before game one, walking on the field for a media day and then going down there during BP before game one, it just, obviously I wanted us to win. But I remember thinking, like, whatever happens with this, how freaking cool is this that we're here and that these people that I work with, that I also call my friends, like, we're here and we're all in this together. And the Braves being the great organization it is, like, our spouses and significant others are get to be there and take part in this. It's something, you know, this was my first one, and I hope 21 was not my last one, but you went 99, young guy out of school. Braves are in the midst of, we're the best team on paper every year. You got to be thinking, Oh, we'll be back. Next year, we'll be back here.
That is a timely statement that you okay. that you just came out with, because I did think that exact thought. Coming off of that World Series, we got swept. However, I thought to myself, how many more of these am I going to get to experience with the kind of baseball team and organization that we have? I mentioned the National League Championship ring that I did get, very proud of. That was the last. I had that thought. You just brought that up. That was the last one we got until 2021. They're hard.
Yeah.
It is just plain hard to win a championship.
It's hard to even get there.
It's hard to get there.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I was just thinking about this last night, about how I wouldn't trade that 21 run for anything, but I was kind of thinking about how at the end of it, after it was all done, at some point I went home to my apartment and like, because we kind of, day after the World Series, I mean, we're still working hard and all that. But at some point that evening, I think I went home and I sat down and I just thought, oh my God, I am completely, completely drained.
Wasn't that a lot of hard work?
It was a lot of hard work. It was great. And this is not even a first world problem. It's just, I loved every second of it. But for all of us here, and this is, I'm bringing this into a broader thing. For all of us that work here in the office, we love what we do. But it is still, it's hard work. And absolutely, we're happy to put it in.
Absolutely.
You know?
And if you think about the obvious timing of a championship run, we had a successful season on the field. We have a lot of hard work to do on a daily basis to do what we do. Then it crescendos with a championship run, and you get by your rounds, and everything just escalates a little bit more every time. So, yes, the feeling that you just described, I know, is shared by the entire front office. So incredibly grateful for a World Series championship, but man, that was a lot of hard work.
Yeah, it was a lot.
But I think we would do it year in and year
every
out.
Year.
Every single year.
What was the experience like for you making that run as 24-year-old out of college compared to now married man with kids and your VP now much higher on the chain? How did those two compare?
Different. There was certainly a high level of natural excitement in 1999. So one difference would be you expected that every single year during that period of years. So I guess expectations were being met. And then just not having any exposure to something like that, or at least certainly working for the team, everything's new and exciting. And I guess, yes, another difference would be where I was in my life. Young, single guy, just thinking, well, what else goes along with this? Well, talk to me about, okay, so it looks like we're going to have a lot of parties here.
Right.
Following the games. Is this how it goes in New York? And it was, to a certain extent. Then you have all those years go by, and we end up where we are in 2021. So I have a different perspective, a whole different appreciation for the time that had elapsed between the two. Yes, I'm at a different point in my career. It's easy to reflect at all the blood, sweat, and tears that go on a yearly basis. And my family being at those home games throughout the playoffs, and we had such an incredible playoff record. Keep me honest, I think game 5 of the World Series was the one loss. It was incredible. My two young daughters, just in course, we would switch off. My wife would have one daughter one game and the other daughter the next, and it was just win, win, win. And looking at the smiles on their faces, because even at their young age, 10 and 11 at the time, maybe 9 and 10, they got it. They got that excitement. They were just like, we got a good baseball team to root for, and Dad works for them, and this is fun.
That's pretty amazing.
Different. I love the question. Definitely different takes on both.
getting to share it with those you love the most. That's pretty, can't put a price on that.
It was awesome.
So what?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We've talked about the playoffs. What are some of your favorite memories on this job? And it can be team on the field, it can be behind the scenes, whatever. When I ask, what are some of the favorite things that have happened to you or that you've experienced on this job, what are some of the things that come to mind?
Sometimes those questions can be difficult, at least personally speaking. Somebody will ask a question similar to that, and I'll just think, I just don't have the answer right this second. And if I was asked that question in the earlier years of my career, I don't know if I would have had an immediate answer, but the answer came. The most special moment I've had is the last game at Turner Field for a couple of different reasons. I had started the second year, the paint was still fresh. I started the second year of that ballpark's life in baseball.
And you went there as a fan with the opening. Yeah.
Went there as a fan. And I just, if our careers here are a storybook, a lot of my storybook had taken place at Turner Field. And at the time, I worked for our friend Scott Cunningham across the way here in the office and did for many years. So I, as a part of my job, I took an active part in the programming and execution of the pre-game ceremonies, post-game ceremonies, and I'm glad the answer came. I'm glad you asked the question, and it feels nice when I do get that question from other people now that moment stood out so much to me. I was able, very busy, certainly a busy day doing what we do here, but there were a couple of moments I was able to lean back and just look around at that packed house and just think about my career up to that point and thinking we're closing this place down. That was very special.
Yeah, that was a very special day. That was early on in my time here. But as a lifelong Braves fan, literally 2 decades before I actually started working for the Braves, to be there that day was pretty special. And I actually went up to the very top of the upper deck behind home plate after the game that night. There was some staff on the field just kind of hanging out, having some drinks. Everybody was gone. And I kind of just sat there and just took it all in for a minute and looked around and was grateful to have been there, much like I'm grateful to be here at this place because I absolutely love this place. Not only work here, I've lived here for 5 years in the Battery, so love both. Let's back up for a second. How did you end up going from the ticketing side of things into where kind of the side of things that you're in now?
Yep. So worked in ticket sales through the 2000 season. We hosted an All-Star game in 2000. That was certainly a thrill. Following that season, I think it was at that point my mind had really opened up to two things. I had only been here 3 seasons, having the time of my life, gaining just tons of experience. And I thought, well, maybe I want to do something else in general, or even better, maybe I want to do something else within the Braves organization. And I got that very opportunity following that season. A couple of colleagues left 2 positions in the marketing department. One of them is still with MLB.com, left for a position with MLB.com back then. So I put my name in the hat for that. The gentleman that was hiring for that position had noticed when we just came off of Braves Fest here, used to be called Fan Fest back in that day, had noticed for the past couple of years that I was a guy in a department that was focused on tickets. But then when we would have those all hands on deck events, I was always there a little bit early or certainly after the event, just helping get the operational assets down that you have to put up and make the logistics work. Why I did that exactly, I guess I just felt like it was the right thing to do. And certainly didn't have a family to go home to back then. I had the time, so right. I didn't mind just hanging out as much as I could. He noticed that, and I got hired for a position. Back then, it was called promotions assistant. And what I didn't know right off the bat, certainly, was that was the move that I made that really started the foundation of what I still do and oversee to this very day. It was a position that by default served as an operational arm of the marketing department. We certainly didn't host as nearly as many events, didn't have the facility to do so, or the spaces back then just didn't happen. But there were still plenty of things that needed to be set up, worked out, other than a baseball game. And when those kinds of things would come along in this position that I was hired in, I certainly was picked to do and lead the charge on such things. So that kind of hard work started at that point and ended up a couple of years after that managing a seasonal staff, game day staff. And at that time, I thought, you know, sometimes when opportunities hit you in the face, you don't know how you feel about them. Right. And I thought to myself, I'd really only been in charge of myself up to that point.
Right.
And that suited Alan Hearn back then. And here I am presented of, hey, now you got to manage about 100 people. And I thought to myself, oh, well, I certainly said yes. But after I said yes, I thought to myself, gosh, is this what I want to do? But an opportunity like that, certainly through trial and error and sheer hands-on experience, gave me the ability to lead a group of people. And certainly at this point in my life, I look back at that moment on the timeline and thank goodness that was it's a series of moments on a timeline that build that foundation to help propel people to where they are. And did similar things for a number of years. There were some changes around me. I referenced Scott Cunningham earlier. He came on board the year after Derek and Mike, and Derek Schiller placed myself and another gentleman under Scott. Here's another opportunity where I'm thinking, okay, does this make all the sense in the world? Here I am, Scott's heavy into production. I've never done anything in that realm. How do I fit in this puzzle? But we did.
Right.
So we were able to serve as an operational arm for Scott's program. And by doing so, he was certainly able, I like to think, to elevate and do more for what he was charged with to do. And I really finished my career at Turner Field out in that capacity. Then we moved to a new ballpark. How exciting is that? Not only that, the ballpark happened to be, at the time, the new ballpark was going to be 2.6 miles away from where I lived. So I do get the question a lot, and why wouldn't I? Especially shortly after we opened this place up, or we were building the ballpark even, people are like, oh, you live in Smyrna. I tell them I live in Smyrna, and they should say, oh, you relocated because of the Braves. I said, you know, I didn't. In my particular dumb luck case, the team moved out right down the street from where I was living, but that was awesome. Took me forever to wrap my head around that.
I'm going to have to get some local housing market advice and tips from you, because I have lived here in the Battery since May of 2017. So about a month after the ballpark opened, I was literally the first resident in what is now called Cortland First Base. So for fans, if you don't know what that is, but you've been here, it's the building where Burned by Rocky Patel, Baseballism, the Escape Game now, the Final Out retail store. I lived in the third floor of that building. I was the first person to live in that building. I moved in the day that they got their occupancy.
Never knew that.
And it was eerie the first night there. Well, not eerie. It was kind of cool, actually. I was the only car in the parking garage. I mean, that was it. There was nobody else in there but me. And of course, that quickly changed. It was people came and filled the building up rather quickly. And then I got engaged, moved in with my fiance. So we moved into a 2-bedroom and second base. So I like to tell people my commute doubled. It was a 2.5-minute walk. And now it's a good solid 5.
I feel sorry for you.
As you should. But now, so we're going to get married here in a couple months. And then after that, we'll buy a house. So I'm going to, I have had the easiest commute in the city of Atlanta for 5 years now. So I'm determined to stay as close as I can.
You should. Smyrna's a great city to live in. And yeah, that's how you mitigate messing that wonderful walking commute that you've enjoyed is... You just get a house in Smyrna.
There you go. Okay.
And it's the drive is easy.
That's what I like to hear. Music to my ears. So what is there? Is there a favorite part of your job? Like what do you look forward to the most?
I have really enjoyed, as hard as they are, and I just throw the word hard out. It's just...
Hard work doesn't necessarily mean bad.
No. Right. There's certainly a lot of pride with... hard work and a lot of value in hard work. I mentioned concerts. I threw the word hard work out at those, and they are mentally and physically. I have really enjoyed another opportunity on the timeline that I could have never imagined myself being involved in. We had a few at Turner Field. Didn't have anything to do. Wasn't around for concerts. When this ballpark opened, we had a few not involved. And you don't know what you don't know. So at the time, I'm thinking, oh, gosh, thank goodness I don't have a hand in those. Well, I got a hand in them, all right. I have really enjoyed learning just about how those things work from start to finish. It still... never ceases to amaze me once we get Live Nation out of the ballpark and where we've done our jobs and the ballpark is ready for baseball. Looks like there hasn't been a concert except with a couple of lines in the outfield where that big heavy stage set. But just all it takes to put on a stadium show fascinates me.
Yeah.
That has really stood out, and certainly I'm grateful for the opportunity. Along the same lines, and to further my answer to that question, all of the events that my team executes, especially some of the bigger ones, we had a few very big holiday parties in December. We had PWC here for the final one last month, and I think that was 1,100 attendees in the Delta Club. They had their own fireworks show, but similar to what I said about concerts, just what it takes to kind of from start to finish to put on that kind of an event. So really, really enjoy being involved in those types of things. I will always love the baseball side of it.
Right.
I wouldn't not mention that. It's just a dynamic of my job and our ever-changing business here to be able to host great experiences that don't necessarily have anything to do with a baseball game. That's what I'm really enjoying.
Well, there's a huge event. I mean, this is massive. Coming up, St. Patrick's Day in the Chop House. My rehearsal dinner is going to be in
that's
there.
That's as big as they get.
Yeah. So I don't know what all prep you and your team are going to have to do for that. I mean, well, let's see. There's a few tables, and then I got to figure out how to plug in my music playlist. And I think that's it. So
we'll be prepping for days.
I'll put some meetings on the books for us to get ready for this thing.
We'll have our own pre-con meeting. We'll hash out all the details.
Good. Okay.
And I just hope that we're privy to the run of show.
Yeah.
The dinner.
I can run it through you. Yeah, I can run it all by you.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
What are some of the funniest things that have happened to you over the years, or funny stories that we can tell on here that won't get us both fired?
Yeah, no, my folks could end up hearing this. I would never go down an avenue that would raise any question marks. Just a ton of funny moments. We laugh every day at something. So I don't know if you've seen the clip, and now his name is escaping me. Stud for the Marlins, started out with the Marlins, pitched for a couple of other different teams, just one of their superb starters unleashing a warm-up pitch that broke a window
okay.
of a pregame vehicle that was going down home plate.
Okay. So it's kind of making the lap around the warning track.
Making the lap around, and he obviously knew about it and intentionally let go a warm-up pitch that went right through the passenger side window.
AJ Burnett. Just pulled it for you.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
That happened at Turner Field. A little bit different. It wasn't a major league pitcher on the mound, but it was the first pitch contestant. And that particular year, a DHL sponsored the first pitch. So the DHL truck would come through the right field tunnel, stop in front of the Braves dugout, let a contestant out of the passenger seat, contestant, whomever was throwing out the first pitch. That person would walk to the mound and the DHL truck would continue on its way. And lo and behold, the first pitch contestant uncorked one that whomever player or coach was saddled with catching the first pitch couldn't get to it, but was sailed over their head. And right as that DHL van passed the plate, that ball hit not a window, but even better for the sound aspect of it, popped that truck on the side, and just the whole ballpark could hear it. Bam. And when you I know that if I was a fan sitting in the seats with my sense of humor, that I would have really enjoyed that.
Sure.
Number one. But being an employee and just knowing what it takes, one of your main goals, if you're doing anything with pregame programming or helping execute it, is not to mess up, or maybe I should just say, maybe there are some miscues, but the fans would never notice. And just, I mean, everybody noticed something like that. That was kind of out of your control. If you've got another human being that's going to let one fly, and many of them do, that's one thing. But to time that van crossing and make that kind of noise, you really appreciate that. I do.
Yeah.
And
especially if it just echoed and reverberated throughout the whole ballpark, and everybody just hears it, just that dent or that ding, whatever you want to call it.
Oh yeah. It was really loud. Funniest moment. Funniest. That is a tough question.
It is so hard because I think this a lot, especially here in the office with my marketing team, the group we have, we laugh a lot. My crew here, the social media team, we laugh. We just had our weekly meeting in my office here an hour ago, and we spent the last 20 minutes of it. We got through everything we need to get through and spent the last 20 just laughing about stuff.
Yeah.
And then game day's here, and I work in the press box. That's just some of the hardest laughs I've ever had up there, just messing with each other and that kind of thing. So, and all with the... It's just kind of beautiful in a way, because all with the backdrop of a Major League Baseball game happening that we're all still paying attention to and working, but having fun with.
It's more of the smaller, funny, subtle moments is how I'm trying to answer that happened, and then I'll go back to I referenced the wild pitch DHL truck. You know, sometimes, and you don't laugh at these until after the fact, because you have to. Some for some big game, big celebration. We were honoring Hank for something. I hope I'm getting this right. And I know that there were like 755 numbers handed out on big coroplast pieces.
Oh yeah, it was for I remember I was still a fan at the time. I wasn't working yet, but I remember seeing that, and it was honoring like each of the 755 home runs.
Yes.
And maybe it was, I want to say maybe it was 30th, 40th, maybe 40th anniversary of something like that.
Sounds
right. And I remember there were, because some of those, seen some of those numbers, like I don't know if the foundation auctioned some off and sold some, and then
they did.
I think I've still seen one or two in offices around here that people acquired.
Probably.
You know, probably from the foundation. So I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That's a lot of numbers. Yeah. And
755 of them, in fact.
755.
Yeah.
And anybody working on that field trying to get through that execution was certainly charged. It's all about timing when you're doing pregame, right? You're fighting a first pitch, a TV start time, and we just had massive amounts of people on the field. Our season ticket holders, I think they were called A-listers then. I don't recall. Season ticket holders were, many of them were tapped to help us out, and a bunch of us were giving the ground rules out, right? Hold your number up. This is all on camera. Don't go here. Stay here. Remember, you know, hundreds of people. So we get into the meat of the ceremony, and I wouldn't want to do it for that long, because I had my hands on them. They were kind of weighty, but people just wouldn't hold those big numbers up, and people were leaning them down. Some were upside down, and we were just scrambling around just to, you know, try.
There's 700 of them.
Yeah, so many people just like, you, sir, please hold the number up. But there were 10 people behind them doing the same thing.
And it's like a giant game of whack-a-mole or something. You get one, yeah. You get stood back up and right side up, and then you look over, and there's another one's falling upside down.
That's exactly what it was. And I think one of my coworkers was, and this got on film, of course. We had finished the ceremony, and then when you're doing anything and you clear the field, right, for lack of a better phrase, and again, it's all about timing. You got to do that stuff really quickly, and that was a lot of people. So the people were supposed to hold on to their numbers and exit the field. Some just laid them down. So that was an extra thing we had to do. One of my coworkers was on film, was out there just trying to gather as many as he could. They were heavy. He was struggling. He dropped a bunch again. I don't know if I might have laughed at the time, as I'm sure I was doing my best.
Sometimes
to help.
At some point you just have to laugh.
You have to.
I mean, it just things happen, and you just, I mean, you know, you just got to laugh at it. It. My very first, I've told this story on this podcast before, and it took me 2 years from the time it happened to be able to laugh about it at all. And then another, let's see, I remember I told this story with Mark Owens right after the World Series on this podcast. So all told, it took me about 6 years to be finally comfortable enough to tell this story publicly. And it's not really the story, but my very first day working with Brave Social Media, I mean, very first day. This was early in the 2015 season. We were rebuilding at the beginning of it. And I fired off a tweet about a starting pitcher just through, I don't know, two or three innings. And I thought I was being clever and compared him to, or used a Limp Bizkit reference. And it did not go well on Twitter. It got roasted. It got destroyed, ratioed, as we say. And I was so embarrassed that it took me, and I got made fun of playfully by people I work with, and I took it all in stride, but it really took me a couple of years before I was even really comfortable with it. And now I can look back at it, and like if somebody sends it to me or tags me or something, and I'm like, I actually laugh at it now, because it's like, it was so long ago. I don't even know. I've got a lot more experience since then. But at some point, you just, things go wrong at work, and at some point you just gotta just throw your hands up and just laugh. It just becomes funny.
You do, because I think that this definitely rings true for you, me, and most everybody here. We're put in those. It's part of our job. We're put in those situations so often. I guess it's, you know, like being a baseball player, in the sense that you can go up there and have a really bad at bat.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean it's over. because we got to go up and have another at bat. So I think that's how we are able to. And I've been there. Yeah. I have been there many times thinking I was the last person in the world on something, that a mistake I made or something. But it's just all about perspective.
That is true. That's a great, like what you pointed out there. It's kind of if you want to compare it to what's happening on the field, it's part of what makes one of the many things that makes our job great. Even if you have not your best day or something, things go wrong, you're always one day away from the next game and having the best damn day of your career.
Right.
You just never know in this job. Working, and not even, I say this job meaning both of us, we're doing very different parts or serving very different parts of the business here, but it's still connected in that we're, every day it's another day, another game, 162, all that stuff, and you have another chance to go out there and do it again and have the best day.
That's right.
Okay. Well, you've been so kind to come in and spend all this time with me. I got one more question, and this is one I know I've gotten, especially now that I've worked in baseball for a little while, which I was just thinking the other day, this is going to be my 9th season working here with the Braves, and wow. I'm like, I feel like I just moved to Atlanta.
Right.
In 2015, preparing to fire off the worst Limp Bizkit tweet of all time. It goes by quickly. But now that I've been around a little bit, I get the question of what would your advice be to somebody looking to get into sports or work in sports or baseball and that sort of thing? So you, what would your advice be to somebody, especially I always think of it in terms of somebody that was like you coming fresh out of school, just, or in some cases, not even out of school, just trying to, young person trying to break in, they want to work in sports, they really want to work in baseball. I mean, what's your advice to that person?
Awesome question. And for a split second, I was just like, I've got the only answer that I'm going to answer with. And then something else crossed my mind.
Yeah.
Because it's so apparent to me. So I'll start off with this. If you have the opportunity during your college years, try to work for a team part-time.
Yeah.
Okay? I have just, over my career, I have just watched that. I'll speak on our organization because that's where I work. I have just watched that kind of program grow and grow and grow. And it was not that way when I started. That part-time experience just jumps out, I think, with, may I be so bold to say, most jobs in this office. We're going to look at somebody's resume, a young person's resume, and then there it is. Wait a minute. What did you? Oh, so you've worked here on the guest services staff, it just jumps out. Work with a minor league team. Work with another sports organization.
Yep.
It all seems to translate across the board, as we know. So that wasn't my first answer, but I feel really good about that answer. My other answer to your question is something I've been fortunate enough to tell young people and been able to observe, because this isn't easy. This isn't easy during your college years. It's not easy post-college, is forcing yourself to send that email, make that call, or run into somebody and have that conversation. Not something that I personally considered a strength at that point in my life, but I tell the ones that do it, I call them out for it, literally face-to-face, if we're having a face-to-face or on the phone, I say you'd be very surprised how few people your age looking for jobs do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very impressive. And it gives the person on the other end, me or another person here, that immediate impression of, gosh, they really want to do this. They've put some thought into this. They're taking it seriously. And they're not afraid to talk to somebody on the other side that can give them advice and they're learning.
Right.
Whether something works out for them or not, I feel very strongly about that. It's something that's kind of come together with me over a period of years. I'm just like, here's this small group of people. So many, it's easy for somebody just to not take that opportunity and or maybe even have the mindset of, I'll get another opportunity. I'm a little bit anxious about touching base with somebody or having a conversation, but I know I'll get another opportunity. Sometimes you might not get that a similar opportunity again.
Right. I think about my path to where I'm at now a lot, and how I got here and where I thought I was going to go and where I at points intended to go, and how much happier I am that I ended up where I'm at, that it worked out the best it could have possibly for me. But to your first point, I had multiple part-time jobs with MLB in various stints along the way. Wasn't even a part-time gig with the Braves. It was a temporary two-week gig where I had done a few things on social media that had gotten me a little bit noticed. So actually, to bring up Scott Cunningham again, Scott actually brought me down and I tried out for one job that we found out pretty quickly I would have been horrible at. But another part of it that I was okay with was doing some social media stuff. So I stayed for 2 weeks and did, before we weren't doing Fan Fest and we were doing the caravan that would travel, you know, to various places. And so I got to do that for a couple of weeks. All the while, we're also working a very part-time job doing writing for Topps, the baseball card company. And then also, you know, getting paid a little bit of money to demo tear out all the drywall in my aunt's house because she needed somebody to do it and I could do it on the cheap. And I had part-time jobs, but also had the time and needed to pay the bill. So doing all those different things while still trying to get here. But then all that, which leads me to my other thing, I think my first piece of advice is always, it's extremely simple and sounds too easy, I guess, almost. But I would say the number one thing is be nice to people. Be respectful to people.
Be nice to people.
Because if you have the talent or the skill set or the drive or whatever it is that's necessary to get here to where you want to get, none of that matters if your first impression or their impression of you is negative.
100%.
When I went on that caravan for those 2 weeks, my last day on that caravan also happened to be the first day of somebody who was going to be a Braves trainee that year. And I jokingly, she introduced herself and I, you know, she was introducing herself to everybody. This is her first day and she's getting on the bus. And I said, oh, she came up to me and she said her name and all of that. And I said, oh, I'm Ricky, and it was my last day. I was heading back home to Virginia after this. I said, oh, I'm Ricky, but don't worry about me. I'm nobody. You don't need to know me. Like, just kidding around, you know, that kind of thing. I don't remember even saying that. But I did it in a very friendly, joking way. And we were, you know, I got to know her a little bit that day. I still don't remember that, me saying that. But she told me that story a couple years later after she had hired me to come work for her and the Braves in Major League Baseball. But just that one day, because of that, we had a good rapport and we kind of kept up with each other. And then a couple years down the road, an opportunity came up and she reached out of the blue and said, if you're interested, I think you'd be perfect for this. We'd love to have you. And here I am. And I'd done all these other things, just put myself out there, tried, sent out letters, done all this other stuff. But the thing that really, at the end of the day, mattered was I was nice. She remembered me. And because of that, she saw that I had some talent and skills.
It's everything.
It is. It is. Just be a nice person. It's not that
hard. I love it.
Yeah. Well, Alan, thank you so much I'm glad that you don't live too far away. I feel bad that you came all the way into the office. You just had a busy weekend with Braves Fest and all of that, and I drug you in here on a what should have been a day
off. There is nothing that I would rather be doing than talking to you right now.
Okay, well, good. Well, thanks so much, Alan. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Our thanks again to Alan Hearn for joining us here on Behind the Braves, presented by Jostens. Well, you heard at the beginning of the interview there, Alan and I talking about our runs as employees to, in Alan's case, the NLCS and World Series in 1999 and getting an NLCS ring out of that, and then our run in 2021 to the World Series, and both of us being able to receive World Series rings as employees of the team, which we both very, very much cherish. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to work for the team to have yourself a Jostens ring or a piece of the 2021 World Series championship collection. You can head over to jostens.com/braves, and whatever you're looking for, if you want something for your wife, your mom, your dad, your brother, whoever, you can shop the official World Series Champions fan collection over at jostens.com/braves. You can buy Greg McMichael and I's beloved paperweight that we love so much and have talked so much about. You can get a replica of the ring itself. You can get jewelry inspired by the ring, whatever you want. They've got it over there at jostens.com/braves. We very much appreciate Jostens being our partner here on Behind the Braves, and we thank them for their support.